In the name of Allah, the Merciful, the Compassionate, all praises to Allah, the Creator of the universes and their Sustainer, the Provider of believers and unbelievers. And may His choicest blessings be on the seed of His Prophet, the last of His messengers and His only progeny. And in particular, may His incessant blessings ever continue to flow on the 11th successor to the Holy Prophet, on Imam Abu Muhammad Hassan ibn Ali al-Askari, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Tonight then, inshallah, we start with our studies of the Imamah, of the 11th Imam alayhi salam. And again, as always, I take the liberty to set forth before you the agenda, as I promised last Thursday, of the next following five nights, including tonight. I propose, as always, to start with proof that the 11th Imam alayhi salam was truly the Imam of the time, and he is truly our 11th Imam alayhi salam. And I hope that in that connection I will follow the same sequence that we have followed since the time of Hazrat Amir alayhi salam to establish Imamah. Again, the gravamen of the discussion will be that we do not accept any person as an Imam. We do not accept, and I go a step further tonight, we do not accept somebody as an Imam only because our parents accepted them as Imam. We do not accept somebody as an Imam only because our society and our community accept him as an Imam. We each become satisfied for our reasons, so that when somebody asks us, how to you is Al-Askari alayhi salam an Imam, we are able to provide him logical proof, logical answers from authentic sources. That will be the effort once again tonight. And any statements that remain pregnant, inshallah, we shall be covering them in the course of the remaining night. Then tomorrow night, I hope to discuss the excellence of Imam Askari alayhi salam. Because a person cannot be an Imam unless he is the most excellent of all men living at that time. So we need to check out his excellence, and to check out whether there was scope for anybody else to be more excellent than him. Then I am hoping that the Thursday night, we discuss the extraordinary events that took place in his lifetime, to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had truly vested in him the capacity to carry out extraordinary events, to meet the needs of the people, to educate them, and to satisfy all their requirements as a hujjah of Allah would satisfy in the times when he is in office. That, inshallah, on Thursday night. On Friday night, again, I hope we discuss how he paved the way for the Ghaiba of the 12th Imam alayhi salam, and our gratitude to him for all those steps. Overlapping, as we discussed on a couple of nights back, with the political situation of the time. Of course, the political situation now keeps getting more critical and more acute, and accordingly, the Imam alayhi salam adjusts his response to it accordingly, so that the Ummah does not suffer at all. And finally, I hope on Saturday night, the eve of Ashura, we discuss not only matters regarding the eve of Ashura, as we should touch on them, but also the political situation in which the Imam alayhi salam lived, and how he met all the tribulations, all the trials that he was subjected to. Indeed, we shall again see how an Imam lives in a prison, how he spends his time in a prison, and how he not only educates people while he is in prison, how he meets the needs of the Ummah while he is in prison, and also how he spends his time in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how he is able again to set up that torment from which a number of lessons emerge. I hope we do all that on Saturday night. The purpose, once again, and the sole purpose of setting out this agenda to you is that if anyone, one of you, wishes to suggest any amendments to it, then you can feel free to do so. Well then, to start, what are the proofs of his imamah? And again, I will take those four criteria that we have always set out. The first of them is, was he truly appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And we go back to that question, we go back to ask the question to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, the true representative of Allah, the messenger of Allah, the glorified and exalted on earth, the one accepted by all Muslims to be a true representative of Allah, to be a true messenger of Allah in that sphere. Again, the question is, did he leave the Ummah in a mass, in a chaos, when his time for departure came? He knew too well that his last hours had come. In fact, he announced that in Zulqa'dah, that it is the last Hajj he is making. And so anybody wishing to join him should do so. So he knew his departure was close. Yet, did he provide for his successor? We of course say yes, he did. And we've already discussed this in 1999, that he appointed Hazrat Amir alayhi salam as his successor. We refuse to accept that he left the Ummah in a chaos, that he left the Ummah without any system or without any arrangement for succession. We say that the arrangement he made for succession was not only for the person to succeed him, but for every person to be an imam after his successor. And he gave us all those names which are contained in Sunnah books. I've had occasion once in 1996 to discuss those with you. I hope next year I can discuss those ahadith once again with you. But there is no doubt, as is set out in a number of Sunnah sources, that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, says, after me, there will be 12 imams. The last will be in Ghaibah. And the last to be born will be born of Al-Askari, who will be from my clan, from my community. He will not only be a Quraysh, but he will be from Ahlul Bayt, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Well, is this true? The ahadith are so authentic in our sources that they are not open to question at all. But leaving our sources aside, there are no two views about it. The fact that he will be born of Hasan Askari, because that name was given by the Holy Prophet, and the fact that the name was given by the Holy Prophet is contained in a number of authentic Sunni sources. So the question is not open in my submission to any discussion anymore. That this is the Askari alayhi salam, of whom will be born the Mahdi until Allah farajahu. Can you increase the volume a little? Now, apart from these books that we talk about, the reality is that his die-hard enemies themselves, like Mu'taz, who eventually poisoned him, themselves behaved in a way in which it was manifestly clear that they too believed that the Mahdi Ajjal Allah Farajahu would be born of this Askari that we are talking about tonight. But inshallah, I shall postpone till Saturday night or Friday night, perhaps commencing Friday night and finishing Saturday night, to show that their conduct, their behavior, is only explicable and only consistent with their complete acceptance of the fact that the Mahdi Ajjal Allah Farajahu will be born of Imam Hasan Askari alayhi salam. The birth of the 12th Imam was going to be a matter of great significance to them because the Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, had said that it will be the 12 who will topple all the tyrants and all the despots and bring peace and justice to earth. And they knew, as I hope I will start saying tomorrow night, inshallah, I will start providing you the proof that they knew too well that in justice and in reality and in truth, the true Imam alayhi salam at the time was Imam Hasan al-Sari alayhi salam. Well, so that's then the first proof. Just to remind you in 5 seconds that hadith of Jabir, in which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, gave all the names to Jabir, although Jabir did not ask for them, and the 11th name is indeed that of Imam Hasan al-Sari alayhi salam. In the tablet given to the Prophet to Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the name is again the name of Imam Hasan al-Sari alayhi salam as the 11th successor to the Holy Prophet. And as I said last Thursday night, our Imams, in particular Imam Salih alayhi salam, have even shown that tablet to his companions who has reported to us about it. Well, that then, the first argument that we always set forth, because that argument has the seal of the Holy Prophet himself. Secondly, we go round to discuss, was he the person who was most eminent in the time, objectively speaking? The first, of course, was a subjective test. The second, objectively speaking, was he the most learned of the men? Was he the most pious of the men that lived? Was he the most courteous of the men who lived? Was he the most charitable of the men who lived? In other words, take any good quality. Was there any person living at the time who surpassed him in those beautiful qualities that we expect of our Imam? That is what I wish to leave with straight away. Before I go to our last point in discussion, and that is, was he actually appointed by the Imam in office? Because the successor, according to the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, must be appointed by the one in office. But before I come to that, let me dispose of this objective statement. When I say to you that indeed that was the case, that he was the most learned of men who lived, that he was the most pious of men who lived, you will say, ah, but you say this because you are a Shia yourself. But the answer to that question can be given in two ways. To deal with the second way first, I will, inshallah, from tomorrow night, put forward to you various evidence, various pieces of evidence to establish those objective facts. But apart from that, to meet squarely the objection that I speak as a Shia, then a number of Sunnite sources say that beyond question and say it in most clear words. Again, Sawa'ik al-Mahrika says that, but the words of Ibn Sabbah al-Maliki, he is an eminent Maliki author, in his book at page 290, Fusul al-Muhimma, at page 290, he sets out the status of Imam Hasan al-Sari alayhi salam. And he says that truly, in his time, there wasn't a person more learned than him. This is an alim, Ali Shah Alim saying it. There wasn't a person more learned than him, there wasn't a person more pious than him, there wasn't a person who was nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his lifetime, who was nearer to him than Imam Hasan al-Sari alayhi salam. And I will be ashamed, inshallah, Allah keeping my voice going by his own mercy. If that happens, inshallah, I shall continue every night to give you proof of those matters. But quite apart from the proof that I will give, you can see that the Sunnite books say this in clear terms. And Ibn Sabbah al-Maliki goes on to say that truly he was the Imam of his time. And there wasn't anybody to excel him in that right of Imamah. He says, أَقْوَالُهُ سَدِيدًا وَأَفْعَالُهُ حَمِيدًا. I have cut down on Arabic because time is short. I'm saying things in Arabic and I'm translating them only consumes time. However, he says his statements, his answers, his expression of his knowledge was precise. And as you know, preciseness only comes through expertise. It is only when you are an expert on the subject that you can be precise about what you are talking about. وَأَفْعَالُهُ حَمِيدًا. And his conduct was most praiseworthy. And indeed he says that he was a true successor to his father. And his father and his grandfather were so close to Imam Rida alayhi salam, because the people knew Imam Rida alayhi salam more than the other Imams, because he would sit in the open court of Mahmud. They said that these two, that is Imam Jalal alayhi salam and Imam Hadi alayhi salam, were so close in appearance, in dilemma, in logic, in arguments, in soundness, and in proofs with the great Imam Rida alayhi salam, that both of them were called Ibn Rida. And Ibn Sabah ibn Malik says that Imam Hasan Ashari alayhi salam matched all the truth in all the perfect ways. I say one thing, that I put forward the positive proofs to you, and of course we'll continue to give more of those. Let those who say that he was not an Imam give me one negative proof. Let one person come forward and claim even falsely, because there is not even a false claim by any historian, whether he is a Jewish historian or a Christian historian or from Ahl al-Sunnah. There is this one historian who turns around and says that in those 6 years of the imamah of Imam Hasan Ashari alayhi salam, from 254 to 268, there lived one person who was superior to Imam Hasan Ashari alayhi salam, even in one field. I don't think I can be more generous than that. And there is one person whose name can be put forward. Well, I say that suffices for the argument. That suffices for the argument. However, there can be no doubt that the Imam alayhi salam was appointed as an Imam by his illustrious father. Indeed, he was named before. When I was discussing with you the imamah of Imam Rida salamu alayhi, you will recall that Abu Bashir goes to the Imam alayhi salam and says, Yabna Rasulullah. And as you will recall us discussing, Imam Rida alayhi salam had a son, Imam Jarad alayhi salam, at an advanced age. And therefore, Imam Jarad alayhi salam became the Imam when he was only 8 years old. We discussed that when we were discussing his life, and we discussed the conversations he had with the Qadi, etc. So he asked, Abu Basir asked Imam Rida alayhi salam, at the time when Imam Jarad alayhi salam was not even born, asked him who his successor would be, and Imam Rida alayhi salam said who his successor would be, that it could be his son named Muhammad, and his kunya will be Al-Taqi and Al-Jawar and the others. Well, Abu Basir then asked him, Yabna Rasulullah, who will be the Imam after him? Like Jabir asking the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his progeny. It is quite common in those days. So that they were sure of what was happening. Because the word of one Imam must not conflict with the word of another Imam. And you will always find this true of our Imams. What fatwa one Imam has given is exactly what another Imam will say. That is one way in which we will be able to get the consistency, the veracity, and the accuracy of each of our Imams. Abu Basir asked him, and the Imam alayhi salam says, not only talks about Imam Jawad alayhi salam, but says that Imam Hadi alayhi salam will succeed Imam Jawad alayhi salam, and then asks who will succeed him. He turns around and says he will be succeeded by the one who will be the father of the Mahdi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I hope you remember that hadith that Imam Rida alayhi salam put forward in proof of our lines of succession. When Imam Jalal alayhi salam was asked about who his successor would be, as we discussed, and he not only named Imam Hadi alayhi salam, but he named Imam Hasan Askari alayhi salam also as the person who would be the successor to Imam Hadi alayhi salam. Well, then when it comes to Imam Hadi himself, he too named his successor in a number of ways. But my task tonight is perhaps the easiest that has ever been. So far, I have been obtained to put forward to you proof that every Imam, the sixth said who the seventh will be, the seventh said who the eighth will be. But the way Imam Hadi alayhi salam has said that Imam Hasan Askari alayhi salam will be his successor has made my task very easy, because he said it in writing. I'm no longer relying on Mr. Axel Ishwar. It is all in writing, and those letters are extant. They are in our books, a number of them. Indeed, they are also contained in Sunnah's books. Two of those actual letters and the contents of the letters are set out in books of Ahlul Sunnah and Jama'ah. So at least four are in writing. And I will start first with one of those, and that we get from Yahya bin Yasir. Yahya bin Yasir says that 3 months, 90 days, before the martyrdom of the 10th Imam alayhi salam, one day he called a number of his servants, including Yahya bin Yasir, and said to them that I have made a will, and I want to sign this will in your presence. Customary thing, we all do it. And the laws require that there must be 2 witnesses to a will. But the Imam alayhi salam did not skip 2 witnesses to his will. He had 50 witnesses to his will. Now, how much more do you want me to give you? He had 50 witnesses to his will, and the first item in the will is, in that testamentary request, is that his executor, his MM, is his son, Hassan, Abu Muhammad Hassan, and he will be the Imam of my followers after me, and I ask my followers to follow him in exactly the same way as they followed him, as they followed me. Amruhu amri wa qawluhu qawli wa ta'atuhu ta'ati. His word is my word, his commands are my commands to my followers, and obedience to him is to the letter of the obedience to him. And all that is in writing. I can say, I close my case now, because that is a document beyond proof. There has not been any challenge for against that document. But the most serious thing I want to say is that even the government of the time, Mu'taz was then the Khalid. He was the person who engineered the murder of Imam Hadi alayhi salam and his brother Mu'tamad. He too accepted this will, because the will was proved with the authorities, as you know. The will always has to be proved in a court of competent jurisdiction. And the Qadi of the time and the Khalid accepted that as a valid will of Imam Hadi alayhi salam. But it contains 50 signatures, all of whom witnessed the fact that the Imam alayhi salam, in his lifetime, 3 months before his martyrdom, appointed Imam Hasan Askari alayhi salam as his successor. There is no doubt about these things. But the matter goes further. And I wish to put forward tonight various events at which this appointment was made. It was not made in privacy, it was made at various public functions as well. But the second matter that I want to put forward to you is the matter reported by Ahmad bin Muhammad, another companion of the Holy Prophet. And he says that once I visited the Imam alayhi salam, and at that meeting was his son Hussein, who was a very pious person, very well learned person too. He was young, he happened to pass, and when he passed, I asked Imam Hadi alayhi salam, is this son of yours going to be your successor after you? And he said, no, not him. The will of Allah is that after me, my successor should be my son Hassan. So this was said in very early days in Medina. And likewise, Ali bin Mazahir says, bin Madhar says, that I was once with Imam Hadi alayhi salam. And when I was there, I asked him whether his son Muhammad would be the Imam after him. And I will come to discuss a little more about Sayyid Muhammad, whether he would be his successor. And the Imam's answer was, do not raise the question of my successor now. When the time will come, I will let you know. A time came when Sayyid Muhammad passed away, in the lifetime of Imam Hadi alayhi salam, and in the lifetime of Imam Hassan Askari alayhi salam. After that, Isa says, I asked the Imam, who will be the successor after you? And he said, clearly, without any circumspection now, that my successor will be my son Hassan. And then there's two statements. He says, he is the one in whom Allah has vested all the knowledge that the Imam of Allah needs to have. So you can see, I earlier on said that he was a man who was more knowledgeable than any other person. Here is proof from the current Imam, the then current Imam, Imam Hadi alayhi salam, that Imam Hassan Askari alayhi salam was indeed truly vested with all the knowledge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he went to no college, he went to no university, even if he did, how can he have the knowledge of all sciences that he fully commanded at all times? Well, and then he said two things. One, he has been given all the knowledge that he needs in order to be the Imam of the time, and furthermore, he has all the tools and all the equipment and everything else that an Imam would need. Well, so you can see that is complete proof. But the one after that, Ali bin Amr al-Attar, he says, I once went to Imam Hadi alayhi salam when he was in Medina, and asked him who his successor would be. And he gave me exactly the answer that he said, God. Don't raise this question now. When the time will be right, I will let you know myself. That's how he said. But after the passing away of Sayyid Muhammad, I became a little unhappy that what could happen now, because his son just passed away. So I wrote to him a letter saying, Ya Rasulullah, please acquaint me, who will be the successor after you? You can see how concerned the Shias were to know who the true successor was. Hence, it's important that we today know who our true Imam is. And the Imam alayhi salam wrote a letter back. And that letter is in writing and is extant till today. And it's contained in various sources. And in that letter, the Imam alayhi salam says, my successor after me will be my son Hassan. And he says exactly the things he told Isa, that he has all the knowledge he needs. So ask him whatever you were asking me in my lifetime, and follow him in whatever he says without question, because truly it is the will of Allah that he should be your Imam after me, and therefore I will appoint him to be my successor. All that in writing. But the next event of the different nature that I want to put before you is this. When this Sayyid Muhammad, the son of Imam Hadi alayhi salam, passed away, there was a funeral gathering, and the Hashemites met. When the Hashemites met, of course they attended to the funeral of Sayyid Muhammad when all those were over, and there was a meeting, a condolence meeting as it were. Imam Hassan Askari alayhi salam came in. He was a young man then. He came in with a torn coat. He comes and sits next to Imam Hadi alayhi salam. Some companions did not know him at all. So they turned around and asked Imam Hadi alayhi salam, who is this young man who is sitting next to you? And the first thing that Imam Hadi alayhi salam says, he is my successor.
he will be your imam after me. So he told all the Hashemites there. And it is said that in that meeting there were about 200 people present, but not less than 150. And in public, as it were, in the presence of all Hashemites, he declared that Imam Hassan Askari alayhi salam would be his successor. And then he turned around and said that he is invested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all the knowledge he needs. So do not hesitate to ask him. And do not hesitate to follow anything he says, because anything he says is directly the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the glorious, glorified and exalted. And one person immediately asks him a question. And this is typical of us here to ask questions. Questions are asked properly. But as I have always told you, one sign of an imam is that when he's asked a question, he does not say, "I will reply you tomorrow." He does not say, "I will reply you after an hour." The reply is prompt, because he is vested with that knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was asked that, "Why have you torn your jacket? Is this not improper? When we know your brother has just passed away and you have just married him, isn't this improper to have your jacket torn?" Exactly the question that our Hami will ask you today. And we are criticized for wearing black clothes on Ashura Day for exactly the same reason. But the Imam alayhi salam promptly turns around to that companion and says, Why isn't this the sunnah of Anbiya? Because the Imam follows the sunnah of Anbiya, of the prophets who preceded him. And that companion says, "Ya Rasulullah, I am not familiar with this." And the Imam alayhi salam turns around in the presence of his father and says, "When Harun died, Musa did exactly this. He went to the funeral of Harun with his jacket torn. He was so grieved that he tore his jacket. And when he attended the funeral ceremony like this one that I am attending, he too had a torn jacket. It is in keeping with that sunnah and in compliance with the grief I feel for the death of my brother that I too have torn my jacket." So there was no time passing to prove the imam. The moment the question is asked, the moment his imam is declared by his father, it puts forward this answer straight away. But a similar incident occurs in respect of Abu Hashim Ja'fari. Abu Hashim Ja'fari is a name I kept mentioning a number of times 3 nights back with regard to Imam Hadi alayhi salam. The number of questions he asked, the number of mu'jizas that he saw. He is the one, you remember, who was said Hindi by Imam Hadi alayhi salam. That Abu Hashim Ja'fari says that he too attended that particular meeting. But as they were gathering and as they were entering, it occurred to him that the situation now is exactly the situation in which Imam Musa ibn Ja'far sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, just a few seconds, no more, to remind you what we have already discussed. When we were discussing the Imam of Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi wa sallam, he said, Hazrat Ismail died in the lifetime of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And the question arose whether Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam was the Imam after Imam Sadiq, or it was Ismail who was the Imam after Imam Ja'far Sadiq. And I discussed with you everything about everything that we discussed at length about Hazrat Ismail, how he passed away, how, what his descendants are, what are the beliefs of the Ismailis of today, both of the Bohra section and the Agha Khan section. We discussed all that matter, if you remember, in detail, in those cities. I will not take you back to any of those. Only to say that Abu Hashim Ja'fari thought that is an identical situation now, because the position now is that the Imam alayhi salam has told us that Hassan Askari will be successor. And look at this, exactly that, the elder brother Sayyid Muhammad has already passed away, and the next in line is now the Imam alayhi salam. like these thoughts were going on in the mind of Abu Hashim, Imam Hadi alayhi salam entered too, and he passed Abu Hashim and he held the hand of Abu Hashim and said, "Oh Abu Hashim, what you are thinking is so true and so correct." How many times have we discussed how our Imam knew exactly what other people were thinking? How I said Imam Hadi alayhi salam told that person sent from Isfahan to the court of Mutawakkil. He was praying that Mutawakkil should not harm Imam Hadi alayhi salam. And the Imam passes by and says, "Your prayer has already been accepted." You can see the repetition of that. And this event took place before that. And Imam Hadi alayhi salam says, "Oh Abu Hashim, what you are thinking is exactly the scenario taking place today. But be sure that my successor after me will be my son Hassan. He is invested with all the knowledge that he requires with the Imam. He is already invested with all that Allah needs to invest in his Imam." A word about Sayyid Muhammad. This is the Sayyid Muhammad for whose ziyarah you go when you move from Qadrain to Samarra. On the way, as Balad, if you remember, there is a shrine with big tombs, and that is indeed the shrine of Sayyid Muhammad. It is celebrated in that way, and it has been built up and decorated in that way because a number of miracles and a number of magnificent acts have occurred in that particular shrine. People with hajjah go to that particular shrine. In particular, ladies who are not able to give birth to children go to that particular shrine because it is famous for giving children to those ladies who could not bear two children for a number of years. And that is why when you go there, you will see that in a corner there is a little portion in which there are only cradles there. There are no cradles kept, because all mothers who did not have children went to Sayyid Muhammad, asked for children. He prayed to Allah, because these people don't die, whatever the Wahhabis tell you, because Quran says that they are alive. And with his prayers, Allah granted children to all these ladies. Of course, you will also see a number of sheep being slaughtered. A number of sheep can get slaughtered almost every day to say Muhammad ibn Allah. I'll take the chair to translate into the English in the Fatih what Sheikh Abbas Kumi speaks about it in his Fatih Mufatih regarding Sayyid Muhammad, and you will find it in the book at pages 534 and 535. You refer to it and you will find greater details of that Sayyid Muhammad. That is the Sayyid Muhammad we are discussing. He is the one who passed away in the lifetime of Imam Hassan al-Sayyid alayhi salam. Indeed, when the Imam, that is Imam Hadi alayhi salam, mentioned of his departure to Samarra, he preceded the Imam to Samarra, and when he was coming back to Medina, he passed away in Balad, where he is now then. Well, that then is the situation with regard to Abu Hashim, and he was told in his lifetime as the true successor of the Imam was going to be. So you can see that there is no secrecy about this. And this is why I started saying I have no problem with this matter, because there is abundance of evidence. I then was relying on documentary evidence. And I've already given you two, the will and the letter given to Ali bin Amr bin Attar. But publicly held conversations, particularly this of Abu Hashim, and indeed the one before that in which about 200 or at least 150 Hashemites were found. But the last two that I want to give you are both in writing. And those two are also contained in Sunnah's work, in Fusul al-Muhimma, for example. The first of these comes from Abu Bakr bin Sahifa. He says that in the lifetime of the Imam, before the death of Sayyid Muhammad, I asked him who his successor would be. And he did not tell me then. Typical situation with Isa bin Ali, if you remember. Then, after the passing away of of Sayyid Muhammad, I was no longer in Medina. He was no longer, when I wanted to ask, he was no longer in Medina either. So I wrote him a letter in Samarra and asked, because the Imam alayhi salam lived in Samarra for so many years, 243, he was already in Samarra and he was not martyred until 264. So Abu Bakr says, I wrote him a letter and asked him, who is successor with me? And he promptly replied that letter saying that after me, my successor would be my son Hassan. And Abu Bakr, do not hesitate to consult him on any matter. After me, know that his word is my word, his command is my command, his teaching is my teaching, obedience to him is obedience to me. So all that an Imam needs is fulfilled. For that matter, it is enough that he was appointed the executor of the will, because an executor of an Imam can only be an Imam. The wasi of an Imam can only be an Imam. And as I said last night, that when the 10th Imam alayhi salam was martyred, the only person with him was Imam Hasan Askari alayhi salam. He certainly was there to give salah to the Imam alayhi salam, but after the martyrdom, he is the one who prayed on the body of Imam Hadi alayhi salam, because only an Imam can pray on the body of an Imam, and he gave ghusl to the Imam alayhi salam. So there is all those manifestations of truth. And lastly, we have the hadith of Shahwai bin Abdullah, that also is reported in Sunnah to us for Sunnah Muhammad. And in that particular hadith, he sets out exactly the kind of specification of Abu Bakr. He says, I wanted to know who to follow after Imam Hadi alayhi salam. Imam Hadi alayhi salam was already being taken into surveillance at the time. And so he decided he should get this information from Imam Hadi alayhi salam before God forbid he is in prison. Because as you know, his predecessors were in prison. And so he took the care of writing this letter. And fortunately for him, he received the reply in writing. And that again is extant till today. And in that reply, Imam Hadi alayhi salam says exactly the kind of things that he said to Abu Bakr. So you can see, I have given you a variety of instances in which the appointment was made. It was made privately, it was announced privately to companions, it was announced publicly to Hashemites, it was announced to all or to a number of other people, it was put in writing to companions. Indeed, a will was made in which the appointment was explicitly made, and there were 50 witnesses to the will. The question is beyond discussion. And there cannot be two views about it. But as I said, tomorrow onwards, for each of these statements that I made, inshallah, we should begin to see absolute proof, beyond question, beyond doubt, on each aspect of the excellence of the Imam alayhi salam, of the true Imam of the Imam alayhi salam, and of the worship of the Imam alayhi salam. But these qualities are well known with Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And not only with the name of that house, even the females of the house excel in their prayers. What to say of Lady Zainab alayhi salam, for whom the Imam Hussein alayhi salam should have made a wasiya. This is on the day of Ashura. This is the last works of it. Imam Hussein alayhi salam came to the tent three times to meet farewell to Shahi. This now was the last farewell, and in that last farewell, he says to his sister Zainab, oh my sister Zainab, do not forget me, do not forget to remember me, إِنَّ مَا نَشَعْبُ إِنَّ سَلَاتُ الْتَحَجُّدُ. He said, Imam asked the person to remember him in سَلَاتُ الْتَحَجُّدُ. How fast and how truthful and how pure must that personality be. This is how the Imam alayhi salam extolled and excelled the position of the Zainab alayhi salam. And we see that happening. We see that happening all the time and throughout that journey, despite the trials, despite the difficulties, the Zainab alayhi salam maintained her Salatul Tahajjud. But so important to her was her brother Imam Hussein alayhi salam, whom she valued because the Holy Prophet said that he who values Hussein alayhi salam as indeed fulfilled his duty to me, and I will look after him who values Hussein alayhi salam. But more important than that was the fact that when his her mother, the Prophet Zahra alayhi salam, was in her last hours, she prayed to him, let Hussein go to Karbala. Don't leave him alone. You go to Karbala with him. You be my representative soon to influence him. Serve him as I would serve him if I was alive in Karbala. That is why you find that at every step, that Imam Hussein alayhi salam in every possible way. She has taken two sons, as you know, Ahmed and Muhammad, and after eating with Ashura, she gathered them and turned around to them and said, oh, Ahmed and Muhammad, tomorrow is the day of trial. Tomorrow is the day when everybody was in martyrs. You are still so, so young. Do not be afraid of these enemies. Go into their hearts. Go into their army and attack them. And attack them fearlessly. Remind them that your paternal grandfather was Ali ibn Abi Talib, the one who killed Amr ibn Abdullah, the one who killed Marhab. Your paternal grandfather was Jafar ibn Tayyar, who in 2 seconds and bravery fighting with the Holy Prophet. You have to keep those kindness tomorrow. The standard of your maternal grandfather and your paternal grandfather has to combine and come tomorrow and check getting a character and character. The son turned around and said, mother, you don't need to do all this. The blood of Hussein is running in our veins. We have in our veins your blood, the blood of Fatima Bujara, and we will so fight tomorrow. We will so fight tomorrow. That you yourself will be proud of us. Indeed, then they did the Jagamalas, and I'm saying, I prayed for them, prayed for my brothers, and turned around to them and said, oh my son, I trust what you say, but tomorrow will be a hot day, you will be fighting, and if you fight as valiantly as you can, you will fight, you might reach for that, don't sleep, and from the Jagamalas. Don't think of Prabhu Kota and Rari in Sessu. Let it not be said, you say what we should have. And then said, Mother, we promise this, we promise, we will not let the Prabhu Kota until we die, until we do we say. Next day, the great grandfather and their uncle allowed us to go inside. If I were to say it, I said, I have the question. I will not let you do that. You are the one who survived after your mother. Who knew what tragedy was for me? What if you are martyred tomorrow? Then the president and my sister will be cut off altogether. Then he said, I'm going to ask them to come out there and say, hey, how can you deny my son the life of your mother? How can you deny my son the life of your mother? Oh my father, there are people who ask me every day of judgment, they die, if they have not come to be dearer to you than my son. Especially at any time, in the way he has chosen my sister, that he has to say that they have to not give them to you, very, very big matters, the pain that he has to say. But the pen and the time he has given you was and the most thankful that he was the martyr of our head. He looks at them, sighs, and gives them a hand look at them. Ultimately, for 2 million sons to have fight, the fight to the extent that the comes of the breakfast and the water of the sun, and we the cross when we are at the river's cross. The turn round to the river, and this is so well documented in our history. The turn round to the river and saying, oh God, we would have jumped into you, and we would have sunk to the air, but you keep telling. And for the fear of our mother is, we should not touch the water. So we are telling our back to you, but turn the back to the water. In the meantime, Omar ibn Sa'd issued the order, attach the two together. You must do not allow the two to fight together. Separate the two and attack them separately. And so, a full army, a full column of soldiers gets in between the two. They are separated. If there is time, then be done. A time comes when the other is martyred. The other is martyred. If somebody belongs to the Imam, then that's the Rabbah and say, Ya Allah, I bring me, O Rabbah, and it belongs to you, and Allah belongs to you, and we call you now, for the Rabbah, Imam Hussain alayhi salam, we was at the Fath alayhi salam, Jalat salam, and true to the Hazrat Fath alayhi salam, bring the two bodies together, let us together, each taking the Allah, that Imam Hussain alayhi salam said, it is painful for me, and I'm going to 57, to ask children and children if they have any wasiyya to pay. But there is no will of Allah, and not a pain for Imam Hussain. And we ask them, is there any wasiyya you want to make? And they say, oh, I'm going to be one wasiyya. I'm still one wasiyya. And it is said that when you take a body to them to the death, please tell our mother, we have jealousy, we fought as hard as we could. Ultimately, we are now dying. But let her be assured that as we are dying thirsty, we reach the Quran, and she has dissipated, we have attacked the Prophet Musa, and now we turn our last belong to her in the spirit of Jesus. And I'm Abdullah here on the Qawm al-Zalimeen. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ.